Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Tuesday, 15 April 2025. So, as usual, we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. And we will be continuing from where we stopped. I think we are at page 690. The new edition may be another page number. But anyway, we will continue from where we stop. So as usual, let us gather, then we shall have our physical puja. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, that mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Si Chia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Bu Xian Bu Sa. Namo Bu Xian Bu Sa. Namo Bu Xian Bu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Bu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Bu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Bu Sa. Namo Fo Bu Sa. Namo Fo Bu Sa. Namo Fo Bu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambedang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana motamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindas siri pada sarohe puje mi bedang kasume nanena punena matena cha ho tu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang. Now we shall chant our puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel our ignorance therein. Significance offering of water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now let us pay respect to Puja. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Make full use of this half an hour to develop the stability of inner awareness. For those who have already done it, then you can straight away proceed with the meditation. Eh? Stabilizing this inner awareness is the beginning of progress for meditation. Awareness-based meditation needs awareness. Without a stable mindfulness leading to the stability of inner awareness, you cannot really develop the wisdom, the understanding. So awareness-based meditation is what sati-based meditation is all about. Without sati, you cannot understand the Dhamma. Your sati is a spiritual faculty. Without sati, there is no mindfulness within. And without mindfulness, you cannot stabilize it to be in a state of ever mindful, constantly meditative. So without sati, you also cannot be heedful. And if you are not able to be heedful, you will be heedless. And according to Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead, because heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless, they are as if dead. And heedlessness is the path to the dead. Understanding this is very important. So stabilizing our sati, which is one of the most important spiritual faculty, is very important. Yeah. So remember the four support. Just relax the mind is the first support, body and mind. Feel it soothingly, relax. Relax means no problem, at ease, without stress. No need to do anything, no need to know anything. Just be in a state of relaxed inner awareness. Then maintain the awareness within. The awareness is not a thought. When you are without thought, the natural state of mind is already aware. You are not able to be aware because you think a lot. You are lost in thought. So this understanding is very important. So maintaining a relaxed state of body and mind, then maintaining awareness is very important. Means don't think, don't try to do anything. Don't even try to know or perceive or do any of those thought activity. But when you do that, your thinking, sankhara activity, thought movement, they will arise. And when they arise, that become your mundane mind, which is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. It's not your true mind. Your true mind is without thought, without sankhara activity, and without the aggregates. It's just pure awareness nature within. The mind is just silent, completely tranquil and still, without any movement. Movement arises from that pure state, that pure awareness state. And this is the beginning of we call the creation process, where the Buddha termed it the mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, or in Pali call it mano. So when that mind arises, all things arise. That's why the Buddha in the opening statement of Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, he said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So that statement can be understood clearly when you have developed the pure awareness within. Then from there, you realize you have two minds. One is a complete silent, inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, nature. That one is not a thought. But from there, all thinking arise, all thought activity arise, all emotion arise, all sankhara activity arise, all the mundane thinking, reaction and stirring arise. So see that clearly. Develop the understanding of how you become conditioned into various mind state, various emotion, all of your anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, or even inner peace, joy, everything. You can feel them. These are mind states that manifest through the thought process. So you are just relaxed, ability to maintain awareness, to stabilize it. The third support is to stabilize it. Then you can be with your true mind all the time, if not most of the time. So transforming your meditative understanding, you need this inner awareness. That's why this half an hour awareness-based meditation is very useful. It will help you. Okay, I will now let you meditate on your own. So remember, the first three or the four support, relax, maintaining awareness, then allow the awareness to stabilize. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just be in a state of inner peace, inner calmness, with inner relaxation of form and mind. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Just let things be. Don't try to change things. Just be the silent inner awareness nature. That one can observe and understand many things. That one is the spacious awareness that can be aware before the known. That it can see, it can observe, it can understand. It can also insight in the phenomena and awaken. It can also see things as they are. So when you insight into phenomena, the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta will become very clear. So only this sati, mindfulness, inner awareness, can develop the wisdom and the understanding. Then for those who already know how to stabilize the inner awareness, you can proceed to the fourth support. You can just relax body and mind, stay at the heart area, and let the inner awareness nature detect whatever movement, whatever vibration that is prominent. Just let it detect and move. No more thought, no more interference from the thought process. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your memory, knowledge, everything. Put them aside. Because once you use that, you will create more thinking, more duality, more ideology. Then the interplay of thought, words, concept, idea, will bring about the lack of peace, the heedless thinking. Then thought activity make you heedless. Then you are lost in thought. When you are aware, you don't think. Without thinking, there is no problem at all. No emotion, nothing. No stress, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. We have no thought. Just the pure nature. So this is what you should do. Then let the pure awareness nature develop the internal movement so that it can detect the gateway to your nature. Once you are able to do that, you will experience a tremendous transformation within you. Initially all of your external yin yang energy, they like melt inside that gateway. Then there is a very soothing movement within. Then that movement transforms the yin and yang energy into pure energy, which will activate your internal nadis and chakras and all the nerve center that need to be activated so that they become more and more tranquil, more and more fine. Then all this vibration will stabilize. Then your nature within will start to transform. This is the Bodhisattva way. The inner spiritual activity and movement born of the cultivator's ability to detect the gateway and to go in, and the nature, which is already wise, will know how to develop the movement by itself. Then you just relax, maintain that awareness within and let it move by itself. Okay, with this I'll let you meditate on your own. I will set the alarm now, 30 minutes. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are your meditative mind state. Your inner awareness without thought is your true mind. So awareness-based meditation is to develop the stability of it so that you are most of the time just aware inside without thought. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkadang Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. Vijjācārāṇa-sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasārati satta deva manusānam buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabho vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho ujjupatipanno bhagavato Saukasango Nyaya Satipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Yadidang Chatari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa bhagavato saukasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjalikaraneyo anuttaraṁ puññaṁ ketaṁ lokasāti sadhu sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you can be seated. Please maintain some form of relaxing awareness and attentiveness. When you are attentive, you listen silently without thought. When you are attentive, you are heedful actually. You are mindful. When you are attentive, you cannot think. Okay, now we continue from where we stop. We are at this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Our Tuesday class is sharing of the Mahayana Sutta, the Lotus Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. Okay, we continue. If born in the heavens or among human beings, they will suffer from poverty and distress. So this is the sutta part, the word in bold. So even if you are born in the heavens, you know the heavenly realms. Mahayana call it the Tian Fa Jie, means heavenly realm. So under the Theravada teachings, there are six heavenly realms, which we call the Deva realms. Above the human realm, there is this six Deva realm. The first of the six Deva realm is what we call the four heavenly king, Chatur Maharaja. So this realm is very near our earth. Then after that, you go up to King Saka, the Tawatinsa realm, where you have the what they call 33 gods. We all in Hokkien call Ti Gong. He is the king of that realm, Tawatinsa. Or they call him the King Saka. Then above that is Tusita realm. Then, of course, there are three more. So these are the six heavenly realms. And these are the realms where you need to have minimum five precepts well kept to take birth up there. And you must have merits to a lot of wholesomeness. Then people in this realm are like very blessed heavenly realm, because they don't need physical food, and they don't get old and all those things when they are there. And the moment they are born spontaneous, they become devas, then translucent, shiny and all those things. And a lot of heavenly music and all those things. They call it the celestial rhyme, celestial being and all those things. But yet, it's stated in the sutta, if born in the heavens, or even among our human rhyme, they will still suffer from poverty and distress. And this is especially true for us human rhyme. Although to be born a human, you already consider quite blessed. Yes, the human rhyme is also called the sensual rhyme of happiness. Kama loka sukati. Of course, the heavenly rhyme is they are more peaceful, more happy, and they have more sensual joy up there. Because their rhyme, the heavenly rhyme is very fragrant, very fragrant. Not like the human rhyme. Human rhyme, actually, to them, we are like very smelly beings. That's why sometimes you cannot blame the ladies or the men for putting on perfume and all that thing. But no matter what you put after half a day or a day, your condition will deteriorate. That's why you have to come back, take bath, clean yourself up, and do all the things. But what you need to understand is sometimes you heard of people telling you, especially we all Buddhists, meditator, cultivator, for no reason, at times you meditate, then you can smell a very fragrant smell, a very strong one. And it's quite common if you know how to meditate. It seems these devas, they come by sometimes to your altar, and the most strong and powerful one was when we were at Anandagiri many years back. We were given the special condition to actually chant the, we call it the tri-sacred occasion. There is this Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and Maitreya Buddha, the three great beings platform. It was completed and we donated quite a lot actually. Then they were given the honor to consecrate the area and we were responsible for the chanting and all those things. So I took about 40 kayamitas there. I think in two buses, I remember. But later on when we were there, we have a lot of these small buses, I think, minibus, which was about 5 or 6 of it. Then we supposed to have a rehearsal that night. The weather was so still, so tranquil, so conducive. So we were there doing the consecration and all those things. Of course, practicing rehearsal. So we recited the Heart Sutta, the Tabezo, and also the Pali version and all those things. Then, as we were doing that, we finished already. Then we supposed to share merit and transfer merit. So, one thing very strange, when we get ready, everybody full of faith. So when we were about to do, suddenly there is a very strong perfume smell. Very, very strong. I had never sensed it so strong before. It came so strong. So we did the thing. Then after that, I think we saw Ajahn Ajahlo came. So at first I thought, maybe the strong perfume or fragrance must be something he brought, no, on the way that we smelled him. But when he arrived, he didn't bring any of this, no flower, nothing, just two statues. I remember one for me and one for Teng Xiong Sifu, I think. Then after that, one of our Kayamita who were there, he is also joining us at the retreat this year also. He's a lady. She has this ability to see, you know, the non-humans and all those things. After that thing, he came to me, you know. He's so excited. He said, Pratyu, you know what happened or not? I said, yes, sir. I said, what happened? I only know the smell very strong. He said, yeah. He said, before you start, he said, the transformation, you know. He said, all of them came down and was behind me, you know. I said, then all the Kaimita in front. No wonder the smell was so strong, the fragrance, the perfume. Then immediately after I finished, all went up, he said. Hey, he said, first time she witnessed like that, she also don't believe her eyes. You know. Then later on, I think, I checked with a few more Kayamita. All of them smell very strong, the fragrance. Because they all, when they come down, they are from those rhymes that are full of those type of fragrance, the perfume. That's why we are taught by the Buddha why we need to burn incense and all those things. Actually, it's not the burning of the incense. No. We all our smell, the incense fragrance and the perfume and all those things. That's why got people pass away or what. The Buddha also say, bring along some incense and perfume so that they put around. Then the devas actually can come near. Yeah. Otherwise, we got a type of smell which to them is not so not so conducive for them to smell. But this type of Dhamma protector devas, they are different. They know we are cultivator, then they got a lot of joy and they will come down. So all this, you will experience them. And sometimes even at the retreat, many occasions, you will be able to smell them. You know, when they are around, they have this fragrance. So anyway, it's just for people who want to develop the faith and the understanding. So no need to be curious or excited over this thing. But you can rejoice. You can send merits to them, transfer merits, or rejoice with all their wholesomeness and all those things. Because there must be something that attract them to bring them down and all those things. Especially when you are at this spiritual way place, retreat area or what. There are beings, especially the heavenly realm and cultivator. Then sometimes their nature, they manifest. Okay, go back to the book, the sharing part. Oh, okay, now I know why I share this with you. Born in the heavens and among the humans. So for us human realm, as we all know, you experience actually both the happy realm and the unhappy realm. Yeah, for human realm, we have to experience the eight reality or the first noble truth. The Buddha in his first noble truth, he proclaimed the noble truth of dukkha. He said, there is this noble truth, he said, of dukkha. Dukkha means literally translated as suffering or unsatisfactoriness. So according to the Buddha, he said, if we as living being or human being live long enough, when we confront this reality without understanding, we will suffer. And the first four is birth, old age, sickness and death. You can also include injury. Actually, getting old is also going through the process of sickness, injury, and all those things. Then there is also this part that is related to poverty. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, you also suffer. Then you also develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then the fifth reality is when there is separation from our loved ones, from the thing we hold on to dearly, our wealth, our property, our possession, our whatever business that you have built up, or all the thing that you believe you own. Then the other one is when you are with people whom you don't like, or you are not able to get along with. Example, some cannot get along with their in-laws, especially newly married lady, mother-in-law can be a problem. Then step-parent, they may not care for you like their own children because they are your step-mother or father or parents. Then you got a lot of problem and issue with career environment where the bosses, they harass you. They actually take advantage of you and push fear into you. So management by fear and what they call there's another word, what is it? Fear and what? They put fear into you and they harass you. Fear and harassment. So because they know you work for them, you need the salary. So they give you a lot of pressure, stress. So when you have people whom you don't like, are this type of people, then sometimes in the school, there are bullies and all those things. Then sometimes in the public civil area where you happen to meet up with gangster, police, or some of these government personnel, especially immigration side, customs side, they may also give you problem. So these are the people who a lot of people have a tendency to fear them, especially road bullies and all those things. Then the last one which the Buddha mentioned is, he said, in short, he summarized, it is due to our own sakayadity, self-delusion, that condition us to grasp and cling onto our own form and mind, which he classified as a five aggregate of form and mind, which is the cause of suffering. You believe this is real, this is you, this is a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling onto, grasp onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this that I managed to accumulate or own belongs to me. And then there is sakayadity, self-delusion. Not having the mindfulness to see clearly that all these are dependent originating causes and conditions that manifest and evolve according to law of nature. When there is condition for it to arise, it appears like it belongs to you. Like you can own it, possess it, have it. Then, of course, you can use it. But sometimes, when the reality strikes, when causes and conditions no more, it was separate from you. And separation can be very traumatic, according to the Buddha. He said, especially people who encounter nature's disaster, like recently, the Myanmar earthquake. I think quite a lot of that. Earlier on, the tsunami. Then we also have major war crisis, economic crisis and all those things. So when this thing hit, a lot of people lost their wealth, lost their loved ones. Then it can bring about a lot of suffering, misery. Then separation can also happen in terms of relationship failure. When you have married couple or spouse who cannot continue with the relationship and they want to divorce or what due to whatever reason, then even the unmarried one also will not be able to escape. Sometimes boyfriend, girlfriend relationship, they may decide not to continue or they decide to dump you. So during this time, there's a lot of mental agony and suffering. Then from love, it becomes hatred, anger, jealousy. So all these are the suffering that come from separation. Can be relationship and can be separation from ownership and all those things. So this reality actually hit a lot of people. Then of course old age and sickness, then the reality of birth, also a lot of people affected. So this reality is a noble truth that can condition suffering. The Buddha said, you don't have the Dhamma understanding. You cling and grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind like our physical body. You want it to be forever young, don't get old, don't get sick and don't die. It's not possible, because this is not what the nature's law can give you. Because this one, physical body of ours, goes the way of nature. It will experience birth leading to old age, sickness, and finally it will die. Whatever that is born will finally die. In between, it will grow, decay, be diseased, and go through injury and suffering. So these are realities. You cannot escape. So without the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom, you will attach, you will cling, and you will become afflicted, miserable. Then the sorrow, the lamentation, the fear, especially disease. Nowadays, a lot of traumatic disease, even cancer, stroke, AIDS, heart attack, and many other type of possibility like accident, car accident, kidnapping, then nature's disaster can bring a lot about a lot of suffering to living being. So this first noble truth reality is the one that causes suffering, misery. So now we go back to a note so you will understand. If birth in the heavens or the human realm, among the human realm, when you confront the eight reality without the Dhamma understanding, they will also suffer. Suffer from lack of understanding. And sometimes it's their karmic conditioning bring about poverty. Poverty through hunger. And through all the war and nature's disaster that afflict living beings, can bring about suffering from poverty and distress, mental distress. They will be in difficult streets and feel miserable, which is very true. You go and ask, you know, say, people in poverty to give. It's very difficult. Well, they themselves also not enough. Sometimes during what they call war condition, when there is famine, riots, or what we call pandemic. Then sometimes flood. You may think you have a lot of money, but in time of all this thing happening, really, money doesn't have any value at all. There was an incident, I got a very close friend. He happened to be in Thailand, Hap Chai. You remember the great flood? Every 10 or 12 years, there is this flood. He stayed in the Lee Garden Hotel, a tall building. The flood came out to first floor and second floor. The whole Hat Yai Tower was flooded. Then there was a commotion inside there. You know, the management also worried, you know, just no food, nothing. They had to do the rationing. You know. Then those who stay 20 a year floor above, he and the family also up there, 23rd floor, I don't know what, I forgot it. He said that time, he actually very well off, he got a lot of money. But he said, there were some Singaporean there also. No? Then there are a few also well-to-do people. They go and fight for the food, no? Use money to pay and all those things. No? I want to buy them water, so not enough. Then he got no choice. He came out and he spoke. How is it? You think only you got money? A lot of us got money, but money got used or not? Is it? Now it's crisis time. We have to manage the food, ration it. He said, let the management tell us how long we can stay alive. Then try to wait for the flood to recede and then bring in, because the government to the soldier, or they will try to bring in food and all those things. So don't out of fear be selfish and just want to grab whatever you can lay your hand on. So luckily he was there, then they all agree. Then they start to ration. So the rationing was quite bad. 20-year-old floor. The mother, very old, cannot come down. So he got to, with the wife and the children, help to take the water and the food out. Although not much, pure rationing. Then luckily his handphone was working. He managed to call a Thai who is a very good friend of his. He every time go there, he will hire his taxi and take him around. So he has known him for many years. So this guy, luckily, he very experienced and very helpful. He knows Sam can afford to pay. He said, you don't worry. He said, you wait. He said, tomorrow, by next morning, I will bring the sampan, he said, the boat. I take your whole family out. So after that, he luckily, because his car was parked onto a higher ground where the flood cannot affect it by this Thai guy. But he at first parked at the hotel, we were having gone. Then he used a sampan and took them, the whole family out. Then he asked them to take the other route, he said, you go further north, then go the other road and go out of Thailand, he said, go back to Malaysia. At first he was thinking, go to Bangkok, take a flight also, never mind. So it was quite bad. So when you go through this, then you will understand the reality of life and existence. Because sometimes condition is like that. When you are at this, what they call, places where you cannot find the food, what can you do? Sometimes you travel, extreme cold, then the condition unfavorable. You complain, also no use. Yeah, these are the realities. So take care of karma, then karma take care of your life. Okay, I will read on. Even if they want to create merits or develop wholesomeness, they do not have the means. We are too poor, understand? Then you don't have the parami, the causes and condition. There are no favorable causes and condition. So consequently, the less they have, the poorer they become. The poorer they become, the less they have. Pretty soon they have nothing at all. No house, no land, not a single possession that is of any value. Once cultivator have money, on the other hand, the more they have, the more they receive. This money is not material, it's spiritual wealth. Why? It's because they practice dana parami, giving. The more they give, the deeper their good roots or dana parami is. And so the more wealth they will have. You reap what you sow. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Actually, when you understand the teaching, it's the opposite of what normal human being perceive. When we think we donate, we give. We are giving, actually. But when you understand the Dhamma principle behind the nature's law of giving, it's like you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So that giving is actually your dana parami. The more you give, the more you will receive in the future. But this is your dana parami. So when you cheat, you think you cheat people. But karma-wise, you reap what you sow, people will cheat you back, understand? When you harm, hurt, and cause suffering to fellow living beings, the law of karma hit back. You become the victim. So all this understanding is very, very profound, very difficult to come to an understanding, to practice it. Most people are selfish and stingy. You ask them to donate. It's like cutting off a piece of skin or meat from them. It's like, unless of course, when they already have the understanding and they have the means, of course they can become generous. But it's not easy to be generous when you don't really have much to yourself. So that aspect of charity, or what we call dana parami, is not easy to do. There is a Jataka story, I remember, during the Buddha's time. He, that time, was a normal puttajana, a lay person, very poor. Then he, I think, heard that there is a Sambuddha coming. But he got no money, nothing. So what he did was, he wanted to make offering or donation. So the needle was the only thing that he need for his whatever job. Means you work for people. Maybe that time he need the needle to do the needlework or whatever. So he was actually in a very undecided situation. Then there was another case, the cultivator, the wife and him share the same garment, we all call sarong. So each can take turn to visit the Buddha, pay the respect, have a look and listen to the mind and come back. Then when it come to the turn of the husband, he was so absorbed by the Dhamma and all those things. And he wanted to offer. He got nothing except the garment. It seemed he finally decided to offer. Never even have a thought that what would happen to him and the wife. Then the story came to the king. And the king heard all this. Then decided to actually reward him and the family. Then for that Bodhisattva, which was Sakyamuni Buddha before he became the Buddha, that needle also he offered. No? When I heard this Jataka story from my teacher Ajayantra, deep inside me, the nature there, the tears came out. I knew, if it were me, I also can do it. And not easy to do this, because it concerns your entire, what they call, career. Able to, that is the giving, the Dana Parami, where it tests you at the highest level. So it seems Sakyamuni Buddha, during his final test, he has to give away the wife and the children. Because the test was by, I think, there was a King Sakka, I don't know what. So all this, you can actually bear witness from the sutta itself. So understanding all this will let you understand why the Dhamma is opposite of what normal human being think. So not able to understand the Dhamma will not give you the ability to live that type of life. Because when you have the understanding, just like what Shenhua mentioned, you go back to a not so. You see, it's mentioned here, the more you give, the deeper your good roots are. And so more wealth will come to you. So the giving is giving to you. When you do harm or negative karmic thing, this thing will hit back at you. You reap what you sow. So that is the repercussion from the karmic friction. Then you become the victim. Then you ask yourself, your life, is this what you want? If this is not what you want, then wake up. Don't harm people. Don't cheat people. Don't deceive people. Don't cause to kill and all those things. Keep your precept. Then develop wholesomeness. That's why the advice of the Buddha is to avoid all the evil karmic conditioning so that you take care of your karma. If you abstain from breaking all the severe karmic precepts, then you will avoid the causes and conditions in future for you to be harmed or cheat or deceived or killed by others. So avoiding all evil is to protect you. Out of love and compassion for you, the Buddha advised you to avoid your evil by keeping the precept, not to make life difficult for you. So out of compassion for the living being. Then when you develop wholesomeness, is to give to your own good karmic nature, so that in future you will receive all this goodness, kindness, and generosity back. So understanding the teaching is very, very different from just having knowledge of what that thing is. When you have knowledge, you cannot do well, you don't have to understand. But the selfish tendency is there. The sakyadity, self-delusion is there. You still believe you exist. That's why you cannot give. And there were incidents in the Jataka story where one life, the Bodhisattva, which was Sakyamuni Buddha, he saw the lioness. I think the female lion was hurt and cannot hunt food for the cubs. Seeing this, he understand. And what he did was, he sacrificed himself. He jumped down and let the lioness eat so that he can continue with the work that he has to do and maintain. But don't get me wrong. Don't think that if the Buddha did that, I think I must also go and do that. Don't be foolish. If you don't have the parami, you are not at that level of cultivation, forget about it. You cannot do. For him, he has that understanding and he was at that level of cultivation and he know what is it to be in that position. And that understanding and compassion really can transform the cultivator, and they can do. But to them, it's not the me and the I, it's the causes and conditions involved. And that causes and condition that manifest is such that they can do it. That's why it happened. Okay, I read on, then we can cover at least more. Therefore, we should nourish all kind of good roots. This is very good advice. When we have the capacity to do so, to me is not only capacity, when there are conditions for you to do the wholesome parami or wholesomeness. It's just like for us as Kayamita, we have our retreat, we have our common fund, our spiritual trip activity, our even Kayamita's activity and Kayamitapan. And we make use of all this to develop a lot of wholesomeness. So you have the causes and conditions, you can partake, that is your blessing. Because like Kayamitapan, only those who are within the Kayamita family can actually make donation to it, then we use it for very wholesome purpose. Then the retreat common fund, the spiritual trip common fund, and all the other activity that we do with understanding. And it helps Kayamita one way or another. Those who have understanding, you have the means, the capacity, why not? Because after your breath stops and you die, you cannot carry anything along. So while you have the causes and conditions, do your part. Because this one come back to you, you know. It's not you give away like that. But don't get me wrong, I'm not encouraging you to. Because we don't need much money. Our Kayamita fund is very healthy. We have a lot of fun. I never even go and approach people. But they just donate. And it has been growing since then. And we have more than enough of what we need. Even our website, we have to set up the security, everything. And we also have the annual cost and expenditure to maintain all this. Then all our books we print for free distribution based on volunteer, Kayamita's volunteer service help and other things. Then of course our Kayamita fund is ever ready with the fund to help us pay for all this, and it's very wholesome. So these are the what they call means that we can actually come to have. You can be part of an organization who can do all this for you. Otherwise you have to maybe do the normal thing that normal people do. You donate to charity organization. It can be Christian, any religion also can, or Buddhist, or whatever. Then sometimes you look at the newspaper, then saw the appeal for fund or something. You can also donate through there, no problem. And in the early days, I remember there were a lot of people help out to donate to the orphanage and old folks home, then also the neglected senior who don't have food, who live by the street and all that. So now there are a lot of Sumerian, good Sumerian doing all this. So all these are the other way where people can do. If you happen to see the goodness in them, like Suji, or you can go and make your donation. They also have their own parami. And sometimes, like my father, he liked to donate to school, Chinese school and other things. Then he liked to donate to all this really genuine. Last time he used to donate to all this Chinese guild organization, all this, that really do good things for the Chinese migrant or people who came over from China in the early years. he also himself came over, he benefited. That's why he know. Then we have our care people's association that do a lot of wholesomeness too. So these are all the various means or possibility of cultivating generosity and all that. Sometimes they donate to hospital. Like recently, I think a lot of philanthropy, they donate to hospital. Then the next one, separation. Living beings will suffer from being separated from those they love, or those things that they hold on to dearly, their wealth, their possession, their business, or whatever. So I've explained that. What people enjoy the most is to be together with their loved ones. If they cannot be with their loved ones at that time, or if circumstances force them to separate, they find it extremely difficult to endure. Well, sometimes during the war, you can also end up being separated. Or famine and all those things, or riots, or nature's disaster. This is most painful and distressing experience. So what Shen Hua put is also correct. And then we continue. These are the first reality, the first number two reality that I explained just now. They suffer from being together with those whom they don't like. This refers to your relationship with someone you dislike or someone with whom you have no affinity or difficult to be with. If you have an affinity with someone, you will still love him and have good feeling for him, even if he scold you or hit you. If you have no affinity with a person, even if you praise him and compliment him, friendly feeling will not develop. Yeah, they can feel it. You might be praising him, but he will think that you are mocking him. If you say nice thing about him, he will think that you are being sarcastic. When there is no affinity, misunderstanding occur. There is simply no affinity. We used to say bo yan, don't have affinity. You must have affinity with Triple Gem. That's why you must take refuge with Triple Gem. Then you don't worry. No matter how good you are to him, he will continue to despise you. It is impossible to win such a person over. This is karmic from the past. Okay. That's the suffering from being together with those whom you don't like. If you really resent a certain person, you may go somewhere else to get away from him. However, when you get there, you will encounter a similar annoying person who makes you upset and afflicted. So this is definitely karma. This is the suffering of being around those whom one hates or dislikes. It is mainly because you did not create an affinity with such people in past life. Instead, you created a condition of enmity and resentment. And living beings suffer from various other troubles. This refers to all the different kinds of suffering, such as the various types just described. So this is the first number two, eight reality. Okay, we end here. So the next part of the sutta is engulfed in this morass. However, living beings enjoy their pleasure unaware, unknowingly, unalarmed, and unafraid. They do not grow dissatisfied, nor do they seek liberation. They run about in the burning house of the three realms, and although they encounter tremendous suffering, they are not concerned. This is tuned to their own delusion. Sakyadity, not understanding the teaching, the Dhamma. That's why being a Buddhist, you are very blessed and very lucky in the sense that you have the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, to guide you, to help you develop the understanding of life, the understanding of this noble truth. the Four Noble Truths. And when you understand the teaching, you understand the secret of life. But this Four Noble Truths is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. They explain to you the complete understanding of life, both mundane and supramundane. So when you understand the teaching, you understand life. When you understand life, you know how to live life, then you need not suffer. That's the beauty. Then not only that, you can develop the good understanding to have the good parami, to have the good life. And at the same time, you can also develop the meditative understanding to awaken and to become an enlightened being, to live the life of a noble ones. Means you become an Arya. So the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, you reap the fruit of your hard work, can manifest, and you really live life to the fullest, and with good understanding, good parami. So every life you come, you are like very blessed, very lucky. But actually, it's nothing to do with luck. It has a lot to do with your past cultivation based on your understanding of this teaching. That's why this teaching is very unique. If you understand it, you will be very blessed. You not only understand life, can live life, you become like very blessed, very lucky, full of joy, happiness, no more suffering, nothing can disturb you. So you want to have this type of life, you better make sure you cultivate, develop the understanding, then put it into practice and make it a living reality. Now we come back to our second session. Today, physical class, we got quite a number of us here. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask question, you can put up your hand.
Brother Teo, I have one question. As a new cultivator, can Brother Teo give us some guidance? What shall we do in every day?
Yeah.
Because normally we just read books and listen to YouTube. What else can we do?
Yeah, very good question. Very good question. Sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu. Because, like the Buddha mentioned, when you want to start the cultivation, you have to understand the basic. Just now we also go through it. Apart from learning the teaching, you see, these are the main things that the Buddha teach: dana, sila, and bhavana. You understand this Pali term, right? You don't understand? No, dana is generosity. This one you know, right? Or they call dana parami. So dana got many types. You can have materialistic giving. Like if you offer food to the monk, it's materialistic giving. Then you offer dana to Sangha, it's also materialistic giving. Then sometimes you donate, make offering, donation. Or you radiate love, metta. It's also give. Give of goodness, give of kindness, give of life, donate. Organ, blood, or whatever. Then there is another one, the gift of truth, like we share the teaching, the Dhamma, and people receive it, understand it, benefit from it. These are all very meritorious. So to the Buddha, he said, you must first cultivate dana parami, or generosity parami. And this one, just now I explained, there are many ways to do offering, donation, gift. Sometimes you radiate your kind thought, it's a type of giving. You don't need to have money or materialistic wealth. If you have the means, if it doesn't hurt your pocket too much, if you can do goodness, wholesomeness, it will come back to you. So this is something where you have to apply your own understanding and wisdom to do it. Do not be a good-hearted fool. You know what is good-hearted fool? Well, nowadays, a lot of these bogus salespeople or whatever, they prey on your generosity or not. In Malaysia, at one time a lot, you go to a coffee shop and eat. I think within the half an hour or so, so many come in. Nowadays, they try to stop already. You don't see them so often. Last time, because Malaysians are too generous. So all this are what we call, when you have the Dhamma understanding, got conditioned to do only you do, you don't simply do. People will make use of your so-called good-hearted fool attitude to actually come and ask for money or donation from you, then or ask you to buy things. So you encourage such activity, it will end up, you also will become involved in like part of the activity. So in future, it has its coming too. Because instead of helping the right people and doing the wholesomeness, you've been like cheated and etc. or deceived. And all this thing has its own, what they call, karmic repercussion. It's like you may not know. Sometimes you think gift of truth is very good, so you donate to printing or book or something. But you never go and read that book and don't understand whether that book is giving you the right teaching or not, or harmful or not. You go and donate. Because of that, you lead people the wrong way. In future, you will come with that type of parami. Because you donate, you will receive a lot of these type of books. Then you will get into unnecessary trouble. This is karmic obstruction. Because you don't have the understanding and the wisdom to do. You do because the greed for wholesomeness, goodness. So the greed to do good is actually evil, subtle. So don't be obsessed with doing good. When you have the Dhamma understanding, then you will know the causes and condition behind. When there is condition to do, when there is affinity, you will know one and you will do one. No need to think or decide one. Very clear cut one, very straightforward. But when there is no condition, just let things be. Then the other one is, so this first part you know. So sila is keeping your precept. You keep your precept, it's a meritorious action. It brings about a lot of very wholesome parami. Then it helps to protect yourself, understand? When you keep your precept means you don't cause harm to people. You don't deceive, don't cheat, don't commit all those wrong things like sexual misconduct, intoxication. So because you don't do this, you avoid a lot of evil karma. That's not. Then your karmic nature taken care of. In future, you will not become the victim and you will not suffer all this. That's why this is a very high parami. By keeping your precept, that itself is already very wholesome. Then this one, you develop metta, loving kindness. You radiate love, kindness, compassion to living beings. Wish them well-being. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, be well and happy. Feel that well-being and happiness in you. Then may they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within there. And these are very wholesome, no need money. So all this can be done. Then, like you mentioned, listening to the Dhamma is also a meritorious action. Then you straighten your view is also a meritorious action. Then when you go to the retreat or attend or any of this Buddhist function, you do all the 10 meritorious action almost complete. The first three is dana, sila, and bhavana. You sure do one. But bhavana is meditation. So just now you have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Then when you read Dhamma book, it's also bhavana, first turning wisdom, anasana, through hearing or reading. Nowadays you can read. Then Dhamma discussion and all this thing, or attend retreat. So bhavana is a very wide topic. So like just now you asked, apart from reading and listening, what can you do? That's why the cultivation involves bhavana, actually. So mainly is daily mindfulness. This one is very important. When you can develop daily mindfulness until it stabilizes, means mind enters sati, then you will progress very fast. So this daily mindfulness is very important. Whatever you do in life, you maintain awareness, mindful, aware. So my teacher, Jayantra, teach me this one, which is very good. We choose aware of all our actions and movements. This word aware is very important. Aware means mindful. Aware means mindful. We choose aware of all our action and movements in the present moment. Means like the Buddha mentioned in his Satipatthana Sutta. Under Kaya Nupasana, standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down aware. Then all the what they call intermittent movement, connecting movements between these four postures, means sati sambhajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all activity, means this one. My teacher teach me. He said the highest meditation, he used this word, highest meditation. So this one, when he told me it's the highest meditation, I got a shock on my life at first. It was in the year 1988 and 87 or 88. I realized, I tried. I was hardly able to become even mindful for 5 minutes or within a day. Then I realized I have to start this one. That time I was doing Anapanasati. If I'm not in Anapanasati, I find that my daily mindfulness was not there at all. So this one is daily mindfulness. You have to develop this daily mindfulness until it stabilizes. Means mind enters sati. So what you need to do is, if you are a working person, career, or you are a housewife, or if you retired, also can. Means whatever you do in life, you choose aware of all action and movement in the present. Means maintain awareness, aware from inside out. That is a standing aware. My hand movement, the blinking of my eye, then bending, turning, stretching, or whatever activity you do. The example I always give to cultivator is, the first thing you do when you wake up, what must you do? Maintain what? The first moment when you awake, means no longer sleeping, what do you do? Huh? You become conscious, isn't it? Then you maintain awareness of what? I just told you, isn't it? Your bodily posture, definitely. That's not all. If you are sleeping, it must be that lying down posture. Aware. Aware means what? Your consciousness, awareness, and the body become one. And I say aware. Then after that, find out how you come out of your bed. Don't go and use your thought, no. Then naturally you will know how to move, isn't it? How you move. Most of you don't even know how your hand moves, and how you turn, and how you actually come out from the lying posture to the sitting posture, then how you arise, and how you move on to the washroom or whatever. And normally what you all do is, you hastily do so habitual, because the bladder is calling, and that one drives you all the way. And you reach the washroom, you answer nature's call, there is a relief. And you feel very good sitting there. But you are hardly mindful, understand? Not at all. So what is important is, these are simple training which can make you mindful and very easily. So what I did was, my teacher taught me, he said, have a good religious routine. Develop a good daily religious routine. This one is very important. You can develop this well, then your daily mindfulness will become very good. What he suggested was very good, and I did it. And within 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness came to me. I stabilized it. He said, every morning when you wake up, the first thing you do is, of course, like I mentioned just now, from the bed, you aware. Then all your movement, you aware. Then you go and answer nature's call first. Because that is the first thing you have to do. Yeah. Then after that, you need to brush your teeth, clean yourself or whatever. Even brushing your teeth, there is a lot of things involved on them. Then even when you come out from the bed, or you are in the sitting posture, how you stand up and how you walk, the mindfulness means the awareness and the movement. Then how your hand go and open the washroom door, the doorknob, how you push it in, and all your movement there, how you actually sit onto the WC or whatever. Then, of course, the other thing, how you actually ease yourself. You develop mindfulness, answering nature's call, everything, develop mindfulness. Then you have the habit of being aware. When you are aware, you cannot think. You become mindful naturally, understand not? Then, after you brush your teeth, you see, your hand, when you go to the wash basin, how you actually turn the tap, you must be aware, understand not? Then, how you actually rinse the water and do whatever, or take the toothbrush, that movement, aware. Then how the other hand go and take the toothpaste, open the cap, then how you squeeze it out, how you take, fully aware. Then close it back. Then how you actually brush. You don't, while you brush, you think. Most people don't know what is going on. Sometimes the toothbrush didn't go in or so, hit some other place, your nose or whatever. But when you are mindful, aware, all these things will happen. Then as you brush, the awareness is there, together with it, understand? That will make you transform into a heedful way of living, no longer heedlessly thinking. Everything also you think on. You realize you think a lot on. The moment you wake up, you worry, you go to office or what. You hardly aware of your bodily activity and movement, understand? That's why you cannot anchor your mind to your kaya. Kaya nupasana is not there. Then what you're supposed to do is, first thing after you finish your cleaning up or whatever, go to your altar. If you don't have an altar, then inside your room also you can do. Face any direction, because the Buddha nature is everywhere. You just pay your respect. Yeah? Then develop the habit to meditate for a while. So initially, you need to like do the chanting, yeah? Renew your five precepts, chant the salutation, yeah? Then take refuge, then after that, radiate metta for a while. Yeah? Then after that, you can settle down, then develop meditation. Yeah? But if you already know how to meditate, you already passed the phase of doing metta, you can just relax, maintain awareness, silent. And let your mind develop the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, until the awareness nature become very clear to you. If you do that, sometimes all this 20 minutes, maximum 30 minutes, you become very calm, very beautiful, very tranquil. Then after that, you realize all your movement activity is like, eh? Now you start to see them, no? Then all your blinking of your eye activity, your turning movement, everything is like you are doing it with awareness, no? Huh. Then before you leave your house, pay respect to Triple Gem. You go out, you go to the temple, first thing go to the altar, pay respect, mindfully, you know, with awareness. Then when you walk away, you go to your car, you take the car control or whatever, away. Then how your hand open the car door, and how you move it, fully away. Then how you sit, and how you adjust your seat if you need to. Then how your hand on the steering, then how you start your engine. You are not lost in thought on. Everything mindful, away. You can do this, you will progress very fast. Yeah. And in the retreat, easier to do because you are on your own. You are not involved in activity that wants you to be part of your worldly life activity where you got a lot of duty to attend to. Yeah. At the retreat, you already have the conducive condition for you to actually develop the full-time training of your mind to meditate. So dana, sila, bhavana is very useful. Then the 10 meritorious action I didn't finish just now. See, dana, sila, bhavana is the first three meritorious action. Then listening to the Dhamma, like what you do now, or you listen to the recording, the video, or something, is a meritorious action. Then you straighten your view, which is also a meritorious action. So five already. Then you share merit. You transfer merits. Yeah? Six. Seven. Then after that, you can also develop what they call a lot of other wholesomeness, like service to the community, means you help out in the kayamita activity, like this retreat. There is a committee that do all the work that help us organize all these things, including the what they call duties. All the duties that you do at the retreat is service to community. Then there is a group that help out in the meditation hall, the cleaning and all those things. Then the offering of all the fruits, the dana, what they call significance of all these dana offerings. Then help out in the kitchen. Then all your duty list. Now we got helper to help you. You don't have to wash toilet. Last time you need to wash toilet, then corridor cleaning and all those things. Then at the same time, you can also rejoicing, sadhu. You rejoice is a a meritorious action. Then you can also like the gift of truth. Like when you find certain type of teaching very useful, very good after you have understood it, then you can actually recommend to others to read it or to practice it. You don't have to commit yourself, understand? You just sincerely say, I find this useful, interesting, it has helped me. You can have a look. Yeah. Not until you have personally developed it and understood it and very, very sure, then you no need to go and promote. Even if you have the understanding, you will also not go and promote. You will see whether that person got condition or not. So, well, not everybody can actually have the affinity to come into contact with the teaching and to have the ability to appreciate and receive it. Not easy. That's why I don't go and promote or encourage people. Actually, when they come to me, I actually caution them. I tell Kayamita, you make sure they want to come, otherwise don't bring them. Because it may have karmic implication. Because they may have their karmic obstruction from the past. And even they come, sometimes they cannot understand and they cannot receive because of their karmic obstruction. So if you bring them, sometimes it can cause them more harm. But you know that they are sincere after sharing with them, then they feel that they want to come. Then okay, you bring them. Yeah, both of these cases, they somehow got affinity. Either have affinity Kuan Yin or with somebody. Otherwise, they will not be here. Or they will come, then they will disappear after one or two lessons. But for those who really have the affinity and the parami, the moment they come, they know already this is what they are looking for. In fact, a lot of Kaimita are like that. Even Alicia, 16 years of depression, suddenly got one of her good family friends. They came and asked me, but I got one friend, he said, oh, a lot of problems, he said, got this, they call depression, very severe depression, until gastric, suffer a lot. Then like a lot of problem, a lot of issue. He said, but you can bring. I say, you have to check with her. If she really want to come, then no problem, bring. Then surprisingly, after that 2 months, no news of. But 2 months later, suddenly he received a phone call. He said, I want to come. He said, she want to come and attend. And then he walked into this door. And that was what happened. Immediately after that, he listened, because got affinity with Triple Gem. The first day only, you know, that sharing, like a normal Tuesday class, like that, I explained the first Noble Truth and the second Noble Truth only. There was a joy in her, you know, very slight, you know. At first when he come in, full of fear, very timid and very negative, very eerie on the energy inside. Then when he start to listen, he suddenly realized somebody can relate what happened to her to a teaching that is so useful. No? That's why he starts to pay attention. He listened attentively. Then I saw towards the end, there is a joy in her. Suddenly he can like a little bit of joy, like not so sad already. Then I know, connect already, got conditioned already. Then after that, he keep on chasing after Sui An for the recording. And he listened for 3 months and put it into practice. Then he slowly, slowly came out of it. And now she is very, very good. She can meditate very well. The understanding. And her life transformed. She become completely transformed. And so much joy. Even the husband, the family member all see the big change in her. Until the husband and her invite me to the house a few times. Then the brother and sister, the in-law, they came and looked at me. They thought somebody like monk or what. But it's not a monk, a person. Then they decided to talk to me. Then they even organized a trip for me to go to Japan with them, Hokkaido. That trip was very interesting, very nice. So all these things happened. But by then she recovered already. That's why they see the difference, the changes. And they become like very impressed. And they also want to learn and all those things. So all this, naturally it will happen. You no need to be like too eager to share or too eager to convert. It's not about conversion. It's about how many can have the affinity to come, to develop the understanding. If they have, that one is a real gem, understand not? No need a lot. The real one is not the one that go and propagate and spread one. No point. But if it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation, understand not? You no need to promote or do anything. So, all this demand understanding. So, okay? Sadhu. Straighten view, share already. Yeah. When you straighten your view, it's a paramiya, because it's very meritorious. When you straighten your view, you don't have the wrong view anymore. Yes. Your view become right view. Then you are able to cultivate accordingly.
Okay, yes. Just another question, quick one. I read the books. You mentioned we have to avoid evil, do good,
yes,
and purify the mind.
Yeah,
So the purify the mind, that part, I need further explanation.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, your question is very good. Well, it's very direct and very potent, very important. You see, you do not underestimate this daily mindfulness. Yeah? Until it stabilizes, mind enters sati, then we choose. You can do this too. Your mind will have sati, you know, so stable until it can see things as they are. No? That's why purification of mind is to develop the understanding of life, the Dhamma understanding. And when you can see things clearly, you start to understand how you function as a human being. No? How you get emotional, fearful, how you stir your mind, how you react. Then you realize all this is foolishness, delusion. Well, in the past, you don't know all these are causing you suffering, misery, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. These are sensual desire you will. We call it mental hindrance. Or it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. Then when you start to understand all this, then you can put to test all the essential Dhamma, no, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. If I really train the mind so that it's not heedless, means I act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you try to do that, and you realize happiness will follow you. You have no more suffering. But whenever you are heedless, good and careless, you continue to live the life of heedlessness, meaning following the old way. Small things get angry, then full of selfishness, full of anger, emotion, full of delusion. Fear, worry, anxiety, getting excited very fast. No ability to be peaceful, calm, to have clarity of mind, to understand what is going on. So all this become heedless thinking, habitual tendency. Then you realize suffering follow you, like your shadow. Like the hoof of the cart that follows the, the hoof of the block cart. So, if you really pay attention, then develop all this understanding, you can put to test Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. One will lead to suffering, the other one lead to happiness. Then you choose where your life. It's very easy, isn't it? If you choose to be happy, you will be happy. Why are you not happy? Because choose to be happy means you choose to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to understand all this. Without the evil roots, you are incapable of evil, understand? No selfishness, no anger, no emotion, no jealousy, no hatred. You have all the virtue in life. You are very kind, very gentle, very loving, very understanding. So all these are what they call virtue, wholesome virtue. Like your generosity, your sincerity, your honesty. All these are virtue that has no evil root one. So this is how you develop the purification of mind. Purification of mind is to straighten your view. When you straighten your view, your mind gets purified. Purified of what? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You keep on developing the understanding until this one rooted out. No more self-delusion to arise the personality or the egoic mind to be selfish, to be greedy. Well, all this follow the law of karma. the karmic law, the pancha niyamas, there is no being inside. That's why when you understand all this, it doesn't mean that this form and mind doesn't exist, like this brahati. It exists, but it's not me. It's karmically conditioned out for me to come to this existential world, to live life with the senses, to be conscious of life, and to develop the cultivation, to fulfill my vow, to do all my what they call activity that I need to do, and to of course go through the nature's law of karma, to experience them, to understand them. Then when I develop the understanding of all this, I understand life and I can live life. And that is what meditation is all about, purification of mind is all about. So when you develop the daily mindfulness, you will progress by yourself. You will see it clearly. When you don't have the heedless thinking, your mind most of the time aware, you have clarity. Then you have understanding. Then you can see things as they are. Then you know why you become like that. How you become like that. Then you tell yourself, this is nonsense. Understand or not? This is delusion. So you straighten your view and you come out of it. No more heedless. You go and train yourself to be aware, to be heedful. So you act, speak and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, so that happiness will always follow you. Where you are, with the mindfulness, you can keep your precept already. You can never violate your precept. It's like the step 6 of Avijja Sutta. Then the 3 type of right conduct. Then the 4 foundation of mindfulness. That is how you develop the cultivation. Then the 7 factor of enlightenment keep on arising. Very good. You ask very good question. You and your husband Chan both also very good. Because you all have affinity and sincere. And from here, you learn very fast. Like that. So slowly. I think if I'm not wrong, within the next few months after the retreat, you will become very different. Then your daily mindfulness. Remember, today I want to remember this thing that I wrote. You go back and listen and go through it. It will help whoever want to progress. He will go through this. Especially the daily mindfulness, just now I explained. There is a lady, just now was still online, Cindy. She never met me, but she had been listening to my sharing or saying for so long, and she did the daily mindfulness on her own. And he followed exactly what I say. And he can understand. Then he developed until the sati come. My teaching becomes so easy to understand, so clear to her. Then later on, he determined to come and see me through Sister Ingby. When he came, she was full of joy. And when she physically attend, she become different again. She came here, then he went to Thursday class. Then most of the time now she is online. That's why people who have the affinity, they progress very far, they transform very far. You are very easy, very clean slate. You don't have too much knowledge and complication. And really, that one benefit you. You have been exposed to a lot of this so-called teaching. You will have this type of karmic obstruction that resists new thing or not. Where you like sponge, don't haven't absorbed anything. Very easy. And it go in very fast. Like poaching. He just listen attentively and do. And she progress. Alicia, they also same. Not much what they call influence for other teaching. A lot of them are too much knowledge. They carry with them. They think they know. Then they listen. So different. Then they cannot, don't have the faith also. They cannot understand and cannot go in. Last night, Sister Yun Chan, he was the first to found me and ask me to come out. It took her very long before she can really. Well, she very long time got this type of he do the other type one, the so-called vipassana one. So then he do all sorts of exposure to the Theravada traditions meditation. Until finally, many years later, it took her very long. But now she is very good already. She can understand very much better. I think she is also helping another friend of hers from Canada. This time she also attending the friend from Canada, coming from Penang. The lady, I forgot her name. Can remember her name?
Emily.
Emily, yeah. Correct, Emily. Emily Cole or what? Emily, from Canada. The whole family migrated there. And he came and see me many times. Yun Chan brought her. They are very close friends. This time, first time she attend the retreat, like you all. It will benefit you all. 10:36, we have to end already. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Man Yuan got an announcement. Just now, Lampo near her house on fire. Bomba came. Gone now, but spark still there. Called Tanaga, but has not come yet. This one is quite common. Last time, because of lightning outside, I think 3-4 houses away from my house. Also, that whole street lighting spark, no? Like lightning. But the Tanaga come very fast. They cleared up. So tell Man Yuan nothing to worry. But don't go near. The wire is, I think, short circuit already. That's why the current spark. Okay, let us share merit, transfer merit, then we end. Akasata Chia Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Ita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabbe Sampati Siddhiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita tunya tayo. Devo vasat kalina sasa sampati kocha. Pito bhavatu lokocha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamina. Mami bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.